Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I heard a story once of a seminarian, an Episcopal seminarian, that went off from his home church to one of these seminaries, Swanee or Virginia, one of these horrible, horrible places. And he went, and he was studying under these great professors, and he came to studying baptism, specifically baptism of infants. And as he was studying, he started to question what he had been taught his whole life. He had started to question whether infant baptism was scriptural or not. And so after a couple of semesters, he goes home for a summer break, and it happens that the bishop is there for a visit. And so, because he's a seminarian, an ordinand, getting ready for ordination, he has his visit with the bishop, and he decides to be honest with the bishop. He says, "Bishop, I don't know about all this stuff. Do we really believe all this stuff? I mean, do we really believe that we should be baptizing infants? Do you believe in infant baptism?" And the bishop leans back in his chair, and he thinks for a bit, and he says, "Believe it? I've seen it." "Believe it? I've seen it." This is the words which resound from the mouth of the apostles. "Christ is risen. Amen." Amen. "Do you believe this? Believe it. I've seen it." The disciples in the upper room were hidden, locked door for fear. Fear of the Jews, fear of persecution, fear of being found out to be a follower of this crucified Messiah. They locked the doors, but the locked doors could not hold back our crucified and now risen Savior. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Hallelujah. Christ has risen from the grave. And he has risen from the grave and has visited the women at the tomb, and now he has come to visit his disciples. In the Gospel of John, it says that Peter and the beloved apostle come to the empty tomb, and they're perplexed. They're questioning whether or not it's true. And so they come home, and that evening they are all together and they see the Lord. They not only believe that it happened, but they've seen it. And they've seen the risen Lord who has brought them peace. And this is the word I want to speak about just for a few minutes today: peace. Peace. "Peace be with you" is the first words that are uttered by the risen Lord to the disciples. Peace be with you. The disciples were behind locked door, afraid of the Jews, afraid of being found, and Jesus finds them and says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Christ appears to his disciples in the flesh and preaches peace. He preaches reconciliation. The disciples, perhaps, were afraid of meeting their risen Lord. They were scattered when he ascended upon Mount Golgotha. When he was crucified, only a few were left. The rest were scattered. But here in the upper room, we find them gathered yet again in fear. And to these fearing disciples, Jesus declares, "Peace be with you." And this peace has a cost. Peace is a word that's common to us. It's been adopted and co-opted by the culture of the past 100 years. Peace is a word that's familiar to our ears, but I believe the idea is far from us. Peace and love, these were the words co-opted by the sexual revolution, and these people decided that just saying peace and love was enough. If I say it enough and believe it enough, maybe it will just happen. Brothers and sisters, this is not what we believe. We believe that peace had a cost. Peace had a cost. And when we look upon the cross and when we look to the empty tomb, we see the cost of peace. And we know that Jesus promises peace. Earlier in the Gospel of John, he says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let you be afraid. I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." These are the words of Jesus in the upper room just before his passion and death. Jesus comes to bring peace. Jesus was crucified and is raised on the third day for peace. "Not as the world gives," our Lord says, "do I give you, for I have overcome the world." The world seeks to give us empty peace. If we just hug it out, everything will be okay. If we just move aside our differences and come together, we will have peace. But this is not how it was in the beginning. In the beginning, God created all things, yet man rebelled against his good God and Creator. He rebelled and brought enmity and strife into this world. The curse to the serpent says that I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed. And thus there has been enmity in this fallen world. And we don't have to read far in the book of Genesis to see this enmity play out, this hatred, this division, this strife. We see Cain and Abel, we see Abraham and Lot, we see Sarah and Hagar, we see over and over and over again this curse of enmity and strife. Yet God, rich in his mercy, sent his only Son into the world of strife to bring peace. And this peace was costly. It cost the Son of God his life, yet he did not stay dead. He was raised on the third day so that we might be reconciled to God. So that we might be reconciled to God, and by being reconciled to God, be reconciled to one another. For it's in Christ's body that we are reconciled as people. Reconciliation is not cheap. Peace has a cost. "My peace I give you," Jesus says. "Not as the world gives do I give to you. My peace I give to you. I have overcome the world." Christ gives what he promises. He promised to give us peace and enacted that peace by taking upon himself all the strife, all the punishment for the sin and rebellion that we all justly deserved. He reconciled all things in his body, Paul says. He reconciled all things by the blood of his cross. We serve a risen Lord. Amen. We serve a bodily risen Lord. For if he did not raise from the dead bodily, then our peace is nothing. It says, Paul says in Ephesians that he has made the two one in his flesh, the dividing wall of hostility being broken down in his flesh. And we see here in the locked room that our Lord confirms to his disciples that he has risen bodily, that the promise of peace had a cost, and it is his flesh. And the reconciliation that we all seek for, not only with God, but also with other men and women, is only had through his blood. Peace had a cost. We don't serve a phantom Christ. We don't serve a ghost. We serve a risen Lord who rose from the dead with bones and flesh and blood and scars. We serve a risen Lord, and he confirms even to those who doubt that he has risen. Hallelujah. Even to Thomas, he confirms his bodily resurrection. He confirms that his promise of peace has found its fulfillment in his flesh. Thomas says, "Unless I touch his hands and his feet and his side, I will never believe." And we're pretty hard on Thomas, doubting Thomas. Talk about a nickname. But something Thomas knew is that if Christ had not risen bodily from the grave, then all their faith was for naught. Unless Christ had risen from the grave with his blood and body and bones and everything appertaining to human nature, then all of our hope is lost. And what does Jesus do? He comes 8 days later, making him wait for it, and he says, "Peace be with you." Yet again, he says these words, he confirms his promise, and he says this to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." This is the challenge to all of us in this fearing and doubtful world. This is our natural disposition, that we cower in fear and disbelieve that God could be so good as to send his only Son to die and to be raised for us. But even today, our Lord looks to us who may be in fear, who may doubt his goodness, and he says, "See my hands and my feet. Touch my side. Don't disbelieve, but believe. Believe it. I've seen it. And what we have not seen with our eyes, we behold by faith. We believe in the God who raises the dead. We believe in the God who creates from nothing. And we believe in the God who justifies sinners by the blood of his Son on the cross, who was raised for our justification, who confirms his peace with us in the resurrection. We don't serve a phantom Christ, but we serve one who has a human body and is raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us at this very moment. And so if you find yourself surrounded in fear, surrounded in doubt today, know and hear Christ say, "Peace be with you." What he says, he accomplishes. And he accomplished this for us on the cross. And the wounds of that cross remain in that resurrected body. For our peace had a cost. The reconciliation that God has brought forward in his Son, Jesus Christ, was costly. It cost him his life. But God raised him from the dead, never to die again. And he is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, making peace for us. Hallelujah. He is risen. Christ is our peace. And as the world says, "Peace, peace," we know that that is no peace. For we know that Christ alone is our peace. And when he says, "Peace be with you," and we hear these words with faith, And we behold him who was pierced for our transgressions and who was chastised to bring us peace. When we look upon him with faith and hear those words afresh, we have peace. We have peace with God and with one another by faith. And this we affirm every single Sunday by sharing the peace of Christ. This is not a formality, we like to say, because we know the cost. We know that the peace which we share with one another had a cost. Brothers and sisters, know that you can have peace in this life and in the next only by faith in our crucified and risen Lord. Peace be with you, says our Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hear them afresh with faith, and know that with God, within Christ, we have peace with God. Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears may through thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts, that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.